You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Me and B holding it down out west, Ashburn, Virginia, BigBear.ai Performance Center. Commanders getting back on the practice field today as they get ready for Week 18 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And, man, it's B, it's funny. I had a call yesterday with Kerwin and Heather and our boss over there, Anthony, just trying to figure out, you know, because we got in all ears this week from Philly after the game. And with the 4:30 start, it gets a little more complicated, and we're trying to figure out the best way to kind of cover this game. And I'm like, man, in the grand scheme of things, like, this game is not that important. Like, it's the season. Like, how the hell did we get here? And I've been sitting on that question. Like, how did this Washington team, with all the promise of last year, get here where, at best, it's going to be 5-12? At best, it's the polar opposite of last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah,
a lot can change in a year.
A lot can change in a year, but I think it's a simple thing where, as we discussed this multiple times, multiple weeks, where we keep discussing injuries that they had, and then we talk about everybody compare them with injuries to other teams with injuries. But those other teams have been rebuilding and building to a point, and they have a better base. This team didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think everybody to a man, after they won, got that far last year, we were like, go for it. You know, and when you're going for it in that situation, you're going to go and try to get more veteran players, and some of those guys didn't work.
It's also when you choose, let's be real, in free agency now through two cycles, they've gone the relatively cheap route. They haven't gone top of the market.
Yeah, they went the cheaper route.
Doing that, it's going to be veteran players,
yeah.
Generally.
Yeah, and I think the ultimate thing, though, if
like, the guys that get the most money are coming off of, like, Milton Williams with the Patriots was one of the few D linemen coming off a rookie deal showing real promise, and the Pats went to the top of the market to sign him. I'm not sure that was the right move. He's missed some time. He's been okay. Like, it's not always the right move to do that, but they haven't done it.
If they had gone and got some big-name guys, then you only get a couple of those. You can't get a multitude of them. And if you get a couple of them and then they work, cool. If they don't work, then you're in the same situation anyway with no money to spend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least they got money to spend this year and possibly next year. But I think now they can be a little bit more aggressive because, you know, you tried to catch that little rocket and say, well, we're going to make it happen right now. It didn't work. So now they can spend some money and get a younger person who has some years left, and then you better hit in the draft because you must build a foundation. If you're going to withstand the amount of injuries they had, ever, you got to have a base already. If you don't have a base, you're screwed.
It's going to be fascinating to see what this offseason brings, and it's going to be, regardless what they say to us, and we'll hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn next week. Maybe we hear from Josh Harris a little further down the line. Whatever they say to us, you got to remember, there are no legal consequences if they don't tell the media the truth. A lot of coaches,
they will never tell you
pride themselves
100% truth. They will tell you semblance of the truth, portions of things. When it happens, then you know the truth. But the ultimate thing is, no team in this whole league is going to tell you exactly what they're thinking and exactly what they're going to do, because they are always worried about the other team finding out something.
I thought about this, though, and yes, injuries were a major part of the problems this year. So as Kerwin and I were going through to put together this, you know, season in review, you can't ignore Jim gets hurt, Terry gets hurt, Wise gets hurt, Eckler gets hurt, Armstrong gets hurt, and down on the line, right?
Yeah.
But, like, how dangerous is it be for them to look at this year and focus on injuries? Because I think you got to look beyond just that at the totality of a month of losing by three scores or more. But, you know what I mean?
I think if you look at the injuries, I would say this. If they focus on the injuries and make sure they can stay healthy, if they're healthy, they're not losing all those games like that. They're not going to have the situation that they had this year. If they're healthy, if they're 100% healthy throughout the whole year, I don't think we're having a conversation about losing that many games, losing a game by that much. But also, you when you think about the injuries, you got to also think about the fact that when we were healthy, were we competitive? You know, you got to always try to lift the degrees of what you have as far as talent.
Yeah.
Those little things are going to have to happen as well, where we were slower than other teams. Okay? You know, we didn't make the plays that we – our mindset, our concepts, we didn't make those plays. You got to focus on those things too. And I would hope that every player that is possibly coming back or thinking they're going to be back, you want to lift your game too, because a lot of players – we're pooping the bed too.
Totally.
I think,
like, if you're looking at buckets, or maybe even next week, dude, maybe we do a blame pie for the season. Not for games, but just for the season. And mm-hmm. I think, regardless of how you assign it, injuries are a massive part.
Hell yeah.
I would say somewhere between a third and half.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're going to finish a season at best 5-12. Injuries are probably around 40% of the blame. Maybe more, maybe less.
Than that.
Maybe it's 50, right? But there is another half of that regardless.
Yeah.
And, dude, you've had guys that did not play as well as they did last year. And you got to look internally. Is that coach? Is that scheme? Is that these dudes aren't who we thought they were? Like, there's got to be a lot of soul searching.
I think you can look at certain positions and you can find reasons. But, like, for me, okay, if I'm a defensive back and that quarterback has 4 or 5 seconds to throw the football, I don't give a damn how good I am. I'm going to look bad because the receiver will get open. The quarterback will find him. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback, a defensive back is going to look worse than what they are. I will take Mikey Sarenstiel right now and put him on a team with a pass rush, and Mikey Sarenstiel will look 10 times better than he did this season. And people could look at Mike and say, "Well, he digressed." Well, you look at him; he was outside last year. He had the sideline as a help. This year, he went inside, and then he didn't have no damn pass rush this year. So he's gonna look worse, you know. So I think, like, when we start dissecting this thing, the answers are right in our faces. You know, it's easy to find the answers.
Luvu, without real DNs out there, he has to play a lot more, kind of in a. DN role, and maybe that wasn't his strength.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. One that
he was like a wild card last year, where
right.
he could do certain things that this year he wasn't able to do them. He had to go play more of a legitimate position, and I don't think that's his strength.
One that surprised me, a guy I was really high on, I called him to make the Pro Bowl, was Quan Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the pass rush is a huge element to that.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, Quan got benched last week in that Cowboys game. I think DQ had finally had enough or whatever was going on there. Like, it's, and he's going into a free agent year, I believe. Like, there has been, like, it's weird because some of this becomes chicken and egg, right? Like, did the player get worse? Did the situation get worse? How much does the situation impact the player? How much does the player impact the situation? Like, there's a lot of that kind of, like, circular motion. You know what I mean?
I can say this. You know, when you play well or when you do the right things, even when you're in school and then your parents and even coaches, they give you more leeway, right?
Yeah. Quan has one more year.
And I think that last year they played so well and so good and everything happened for us that they got more leeway this offseason. They got more leeway in training camp. And I don't think that the people that were given that took full advantage of it and did the things they were supposed to do. Some people saw it as, oh, cool, I can relax, I can rest. What the coach is going to have to realize is, what guys on this team can I expect to go out there and do what they're supposed to do, and what guys I got to make sure they do what they're supposed to do? You know, my dad always told me, I don't make rules until you break them. Well, if I don't know what the rules are, how I break them? Well, you say, if you think about something twice and you do what you're supposed to do, you probably won't ever get in trouble. When I got to the NFL, guess who said that to me too? Joe Gibbs. And when you watch all the veteran players I had in front of me, I'm looking at what they're doing, so I'm going to do what they're doing. I'm going to try to, you know, do everything that they do. Just come to work on time, be prepared, all that. What we saw last year is training camp, you said, easier. Practices a lot for people, easier. Everybody is not the veteran player like a Bobby Wagner that's going to do what he's supposed to do anyway. Some guys, when they see that, they go, oh, man, I made it now. And when they get that little day off, they chill. They don't do as much as they need to do to get themselves ready. Maybe the approach on the practices have changed next year.
Well, I totally agree with that. The other part of this that you can't ignore, if you want to look at the success from 24.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's a team game. And there's 53 players. There's a gang of coaches, front office, game plan, scouting, film study. There's a million factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what also happened in 2024? Jaden Daniels was shot out of a rocket and bailed them out of trouble week after week after week. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And when you go from having Jaden being phenomenal to only getting 7 games from Jaden and only having 4 complete games from Jaden, that's going to impact things. And then even Marcus was pretty good when he played, and Marcus dealt with injuries too. So it's like when you have, I don't know, look at the Ravens. I'm not necessarily comparing Jaden and Lamar. Lamar's accomplished a lot more over his body of work in the NFL, but as these injuries mount up for Lamar, like the Ravens kind of fell apart. Now they've got a chance to claw their way back in Sunday night, but look at the Bengals. Like, when you lose a quarterback, it is massive. Now, if you want to make that into some larger, can we trust this quarterback to stay healthy conversation, that's your prerogative. I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong to do so. I think 26 will be a good opportunity for Jaden to prove his durability. I also think if these games mattered down the stretch, if they were 8-7 and needed the last two to maybe get a playoff spot, things could have gone differently, but you can't stress enough. I mean, look back last year at the number of close wins, and some of that is the way the ball bounces, and some of that is, you know, the other team makes a mistake. But you know what was a huge factor in these close wins? Jaden Daniels being phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And without him on the field, it's going to look differently.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's weird to get to the end of this year and do an autopsy. And generally, when you're doing an autopsy of an NFL team, it's with the understanding that there's major change coming. You know what I mean? Like, most teams that finish this year 5-12 or 4-13 are going to have a coaching change or something big is going to happen. Or it's a first-year coach. Like, Cleveland could absolutely have a coaching change. Arizona could absolutely have a coaching change. Tennessee already had one. The Jets, they're sticking with Aaron Glenn. It's only his first year. The Giants already fired their coach. I don't know what the hell Vegas is going to do. I really don't know how you run it back with Pete Carroll, but maybe they will. Like, that's the part of town Washington's in.
That's the part of town they're in, but you got to look at where they're at with the whole thing.
Right. I'm not saying it's going to happen here. No. It's weird to be there and not expecting major change.
But, I mean, you get there sometimes in the second year of something. Like this team last year, and I think that's where we are not being, we as fans and media, they won six games on the last play.
Sure.
What if half of those games don't go the way it's supposed to go? You're sitting at 9-8 at that point. What if, you know, like the majority, normally when you got the last ditch play, it normally don't happen 75-80% of the time.
Right.
So what if they lose more of those than they won? Then they're sitting on the other side of eight. So what we've got to look at is that we got a lot of luck with it last year as well.
Yeah.
And you know,
and that,
as good as Jaden was, a lot of that stuff was luck. That last second heave to Noah Brown, that
sure.
was luck.
That one's pure luck.
Okay? We look at the pass, the back of the end zone, all those different things. Those plays are so damn finite to where this year when you come up, you know what happened this year? Those plays didn't work. And you had injuries on top of it. So all those things went the other way. Now, as I stated before, they have to get back to what that game plan was in the beginning. They got off track. And everybody wanted them to get off track because it was so damn close. At this point now, you got to stick to what you know. Build this team to matter if you're the people that's going to be getting it done at the end of that bill or somebody else, they're going to have the pieces in place. Because what we've seen for the last 20-plus years, every time somebody left, that was not enough to sustain anything that might have been built. And every time somebody rolled in, what did they do? They changed everything to fit their system. What this team has to understand, whether it's ownership, front office, whatever, you build the team to where every time you hire a new coach, the people you have, they can stay and keep going. Because if the people got to switch up the personnel every time a new coach come in, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
So now they got to start this thing off with getting people that fits. Because 49ers, I went over their stuff yesterday. In the last 11 years, the 49ers have missed the playoffs six times. They made it five times. But in the beginning of that thing, they were horrible. And then that third year, they shot out of it like a rocket. But those two, 3 years prior to Shanahan getting there, they were awful then too. So they built that thing up. Then they hit out a rocket. Now they go 2 years, 3 years, they drop off, and then boom, they're right back this next year or so. That's what Washington has to get to. They haven't built that yet. They haven't even gotten close to being at that position. So when we watch other teams like the 49ers, we see these other teams do this and then back at it, they are in a much better situation than this team is at the present time.
Did you watch any of Hard Knocks last night?
No.
It felt obligatory for me. Like, I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this because, you know, you never know if there's something newsy or just observational that's rounds out. Like, I try to do my best to cover this team at all times, and mm-hmm. this is inside access to the team I cover. Felt very obligatory. It felt Washington was really not featured much. And you could tell, I don't know this, but I'm going to play a hunch. The teams get ultimate approval of what makes the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington's obviously in a terrible season. Dallas is out of the playoffs. The Giants are in a terrible season. And last night was the first episode that really felt like state-owned media. Like, it was like a lot of like gift exchanges. Jackson Dart had a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington was barely in it. And I think some of that is because the Commanders and the Cowboys were on a short week.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hard Knocks crew just had that much less time to gather. But, dude, what I was really surprised by, the one element that really surprised me, they didn't even show Dan Quinn's post-game locker room speech. Like, they've shown that throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me thinks because the Eagles were playing the Bills and that was a big game, they wanted to allow for as much time for that lead-up as they could. And then the Giants actually won a game. They went out to Vegas and beat the Raiders. Just a god-awful Raiders team. but honestly, just as a viewer, and perhaps I'm not like if you're just a random NFL fan from South Carolina that's watching that game, watching that episode, maybe you enjoyed it more. But for me, I found it was the most disappointing so far. They're just kind of getting to the finish line, I guess.
Yeah.
I
think you and I look at it in a totally different manner than the average fan.
Right. Like, I want to see some of the insight that they sometimes show, and there was just none of it. Again, short week may have impacted that, too.
And then when they picked the NFC East, they thought they were going to be getting a lot of battles.
Right.
Midway through it, they probably like, okay, we got to change our mindset, and we got to start focusing on other stuff.
Totally.
Now, if they focus on what they expected to from the beginning, and they did not check the pancakes, call the audible, I think it would have got turned off.
Now, I don't know this, but you and I work in media and understand how a lot of it works. Perhaps everybody that – so Hard Knocks – so NFL Films does Hard Knocks, and then they license it out to HBO is how I think that works, right? Perhaps all of these – so there's four different crews with the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Commanders. There's four different film crews. Mm-hmm. And they are – it's a significant operation. They built these trailers out there for them. There's a lot of Hard Knocks people around. I've gotten to know some of them. They're all very cool. Perhaps they're all full-time employees. I kind of doubt it, but perhaps they are. But let's assume they operate in the way a lot of media does, that you kind of get hired for this gig and you're paid weekly or hourly, whatever it is.
Like doing a turnaround at a plant.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the crew that got the Commanders, when they got that assignment back in March or April, they were probably like, hell yeah, we're going to make some money. Because Hard Knocks goes on as long as your team is playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get into the playoffs, you're feeling pretty good about it. So the crew that got the Commanders is like, oh yeah, we got at least 2 weeks into January with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's only the Eagles crew that's getting that, that little Christmas bonus, man.
Yeah.
I thought about that too, with these guys just kind of putting their a lot of work in. All right, we do have breaking news out of Philadelphia. Dave Zangaro covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly. Will join us next. We'll run through exactly who's going to play and who's going to be on the bench for the Week 18 finale between the Commanders and the Eagles. Nobody go anywhere.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The rich girl.
When you hear the Hall & Oates, means we're getting ready for a trip up north to Philadelphia. Maybe get a cheesesteak along the way. Trying to track down our friend Dave Zangaro, but he might be working because we just had some news break from Jeff McClain, covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Seems like Philly is not going to be playing many starters this week. Helping us make sense of it all is our friend Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Davey Z, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you guys?
Doing good, Dave.
We're good, man. I can't say it seems surprising, but what is the latest with who Philly's going to play this week?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of trending this way. If you heard Nick Sirianni on Monday, he made it seem like they were going to prioritize rest, which has kind of been their MO during his time as head coach. So, look, I think it makes sense that they're going to do this knowing them, but it's a bit of a gamble because they go into this weekend with a chance to get that 2 seed, which is pretty valuable. They need to win, and they need the Bears to lose to get that 2 seed. So it's very much within the realm of possibility. So I think it's, you know, it's kind of par for the course for a team under Nick Sirianni, but there's some risk involved, right? I mean, the disaster scenario here is that they rest their starters, they lose to the Commanders, and then you watch the Lions beat the Bears, and they lose out on a really good opportunity to move up in seeding. But they won't admit this publicly, but My sense is that they think they have a legitimate shot to beat the Commanders with their backup.
I mean, the reality is it's kind of Philly's backups versus Washington's backups, too. Like, the amount of injuries Washington – I mean, I'm not even trying to do a bit. I think you're right. I wonder what, if any, like, the Vegas line changes because
– Or would they even have a line?
Washington's going to be starting a third-string quarterback most likely. You know, outside of maybe some skill position guys, Washington's not going to have a ton of what you would consider their starters either. Yeah, it looks like – so that line dropped from 7 down to 3-4, but Philly's still favored.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, though, Dave. The offense has not been clicking like they normally do. Do they have any concern about that not getting back to where it was? Because if the offense doesn't get better, with the defense being as good as they are not the same team as they were in the playoffs last year.
No, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think there's a legitimate fear that this offense is just never going to live up to its potential this year, and you're going to waste what is an elite defense. I think that's a legitimate fear, but from their perspective, what gets them the best offense in the playoffs is not showing out against, let's be honest, not a very good Commanders defense, or potentially resting these guys, trying to get the offensive line a little healthier for the playoffs. I think that to them is more valuable than trying to put together a full 60 minutes because they did some good things actually against the Bills in the first half, and then the second half was kind of a disaster from an offensive standpoint. But if they're trying to be encouraged about that performance, the first half actually was pretty good. They were able to move the football. They were able to mix and match their run game and pass game pretty well. And then I think in the second half of that game, they got away from a lot of the things that worked in the first half. They became predictable. I think they kind of turtled a little bit with a 13-point lead. And to me, that's more approach than it is execution or talent. It was just, to me, a too conservative approach in the second half of that game.
I'm going to ask this as kind of a two-parter, right? How good is Philly's defense right now? Because they look excellent.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And they're peaking at the right time, which is pretty impressive. You think back to last year, they did it with a bunch of different players. You know, they peaked at the right time. They were excellent in the playoffs. And then they lost Josh Sweat and Nolan Williams and Darius Slay and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And there were some serious questions going into this year about how they were going to replace all those really good players that they lost in free agency or that they cut ties with. And it took a little bit of time. You know, they had some young players, and they had to mix and match a little bit. But here we are on the doorstep of the playoffs, and they look like an elite defense. They just played the best run game in the NFL, the reigning MVP, and they pretty much held them in check for all that game. So I think the big difference in this defense from this year to last year is that this year right now, going into the playoffs, their defensive line looks awesome. And you know, it's kind of revisionist history when we look at that 2014 because they were so good up front in the Super Bowl, but that really wasn't their strength for most of that season. It was their secondary. It was their ability to cover. But this year, to me, it's even a more balanced defense, which is pretty scary.
So the flip side of that, we're talking with our friend Dave Zangaro here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Dave at DZangaro, NBCS, Zangaro. Check out the Eagle Eye podcast with Dave and our friend Ruben Frank. Kind enough to join us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV. That Eagles defense, and I said this weeks back, maybe it was even in that Chargers game where – Hurts, they ended up losing that game, and Hurts turned it over 5 times. But that defense kept them in it, and I think that defense can keep them in it against anybody. But maybe I shouldn't say bad, but how challenged is the Eagles' offense?
It's a problem right now, and you know it makes their margin for error so razor thin that you know it's a lot of pressure for the defense to live up to. They have to be almost perfect to win these games, and look, they've been excellent since the bye week. They've given up an average of 14.5 points per game. I mean, they're playing lights out right now. But, the offense isn't living up to its side of the deal. And I give the locker room credit because sometimes when you have a dynamic like that, it can create some internal strife where, you know, one side of the football is looking at the other like, hey, come on, guys, like, live up to your end of the deal. That has not happened yet. But, I mean, the offense has to be better. There's no reason why it shouldn't be better. This is the highest payroll offensively in the NFL. This is an offense with a ton of talent that he just has underperformed pretty much all year. And there have been glimpses of a good offense in there at times, but they really haven't put together a full 60 minutes almost at all this entire season. So, you know, I don't think there's some magic switch to flip as you go into the playoffs, but I think the hope is that talent wins out, as it sometimes does in the NFL.
The talent is certainly there with Philly. So assuming it's not Hurts, is that Tanner McKee? I know there's all sorts of excitement about Tanner McKee.
Yeah, it'll be Tanner McKee on Sunday, and he's someone who, you know, we haven't seen him play a ton, but every time he's been in there, he's looked really good. The offense looks different with him. He's a different style quarterback than Jalen Hurts. So I actually think, I'm curious, we have a Nick Sirianni press conference coming up in under an hour, and I still kind of think he's going to not try to reveal this publicly, even though everyone already knows what's going to happen. But, yeah, Tanner McKee was a sixth-round pick a few years ago. He's someone who internally they've really liked since they've had him in the building. He's been impressive during training camps and then during the preseason, and then whenever he gets his opportunities during the season, he's looked really, really good. So I think everyone in this city is kind of fascinated to see what he looks like, because he's the kind of player who I could envision at some point with a different team getting a chance to compete for a starting job. And I think if he has a nice showing on Sunday, it'll only kind of further that lure of Tanner McKee.
Well, this defense is a good opportunity for a guy to have a nice showing. I just got this tweet from Hail Captain Will. He said, we need a Sam Howell versus Sam Hartman matchup. I do not think we'll see Sam Hartman. What are the chances Philly puts Howell on the field?
Yeah, it's not crazy. I mean, you know, if this is getting ahead of ourselves here, but if they build up a big lead, or if, you know, say the Bears are running away with it against Detroit, and maybe at that point you try to protect your backup quarterback. I don't think that's crazy. The backup quarterback is an important position. You don't want to give him a chance to get hurt. So maybe there's a chance Sam Howell at some point plays in this game. Probably unlikely, but yeah, it's funny. We didn't really get to see Sam Howell at all. You know, he came here after training camp, and from what I've heard, he's fit in really well in the locker room and in the quarterback room. But yeah, I don't think I've seen him throw a pass. You know, it's been him as the emergency quarterback, except for, you know, one or two games all year. So that would be fun, right? Yeah. Sam Howell against the Commanders on Sunday, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not surprised he fits in. He's a great dude.
My question would be, if they're going to get on a run, their running game is going to have to be more consistent. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's funny. It's kind of been the talking point here all season. It's like, you know, are they going to figure this out? And then you have the offensive line every week going, yeah, we're close. We're one block away from figuring this out. And, you know, you're one block away for 17 weeks. That's not really how this works. At a certain point, you just are what you are. I think that's maybe part of the reason they're opting for rest this week. That offensive line has been banged up all year, and I don't think it's going to magically fix itself with 1 week of rest, but it certainly can't hurt. And then, you know, obviously once you rest the offensive line, you're not going to play the quarterback. So, yeah, I don't know. We've seen glimpses of this run game start to look alive. I do not think it's Saquon Barkley. I had not thought it's been Saquon all year. I don't think he's the reason they haven't gotten it together. I think it's up front. I think the offensive line just has not played up to the level we're used to seeing them play, and then I don't think play calling has helped them either. But they still have Saquon. He's still really good. So if they're able to figure it out up front, I think there is still a chance. Maybe they're not elite in their running attack like they were last year, but they can at least be a good rushing team, and that's what they want. I mean, that is what they want to be from an identity standpoint. They want to play good defense. They want to run the football, and they want to pass when they need to, and they just haven't been able to lean on that run game all year.
Lane Johnson did not come back against the Bills, right? I know there was some talk of that.
Yeah, he didn't, and obviously he's not going to play this week. But
sure.
My understanding is he's still on track to play in the playoffs. And he's the kind of guy where I don't think you need to rush him out there to get some rest. He's 13 years into this. So everyone will find out how healthy he is when that wild card game starts up.
Yeah, exactly. And then my last question, I guess, with Philly most likely either facing the Rams or the Packers, those are both two really good teams, and so why not rest these guys? Is that kind of where you think Sirianni's at?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a weird rest advantage because the Rams are going to have the ability to potentially rest if they know there's nothing at stake. So that's, you know, it's impossible to line up all these games, but that's a little unfair, right? If they end up being that wild card opponent, they get to rest. So that could potentially play a role here. I do think there's a big difference, though. If you're Philly and you're the 2 seed, you get to play the Packers, who kind of look lost right now. Whereas if you're the 3, it's either the Rams or the 49ers. So I think that's a really big difference. And to me, that's one of the reasons why I think it was a debate this week here about playing or resting, because it's a big difference if you're that 2 seed. Not only the potential extra home game in the playoffs, but also the opponent in that first round.
Hey, Dave, Happy New Year, brother.
Appreciate you, Dave.
We'll see you on Sunday.
All right, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks again.
All right, man.
That's our friend Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Yeah, see him next year.
Yeah, it's true. You can give him a follow at DZangaro NBCS. Nobody go anywhere. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
College football playoff starts tonight.
Let's get it, baby.
Miami, Ohio State. Uh-oh. What a juicy game.
Tana against Sean Spring.
Now we got an actual bracket. So I'm going to get everybody's picks for the bracket. We can determine wagers later. I'm guessing nobody will actually pay, so maybe we don't worry too much about that.
Snickers.
Snickers bars it is.
Yeah.
B. Mitch.
Pecans. Snickers.
We'll start tonight. Miami, Ohio State.
Miami, Ohio State. I would love to see Ohio State beat them. I mean, Miami beat them, but I think Ohio State going to be just too much.
Okay.
Where they playing at?
I believe that's in Dallas, Cotton Bowl.
Ooh.
So probably Jerry World.
Ooh. Whew. I'm going to still go Ohio State.
Okay. Ohio State's a big favorite. Tomorrow night in New Orleans, Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss, Georgia.
Georgia.
Hard not to pick Georgia there. Tomorrow at noon, which could be the best game here. Orange Bowl in Miami, Oregon, Texas Tech.
Ooh. I'm going to go Texas Tech.
All right, Red Raiders. They play the winner of Alabama, Indiana, playing tomorrow in the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl.
Okay, Indiana is going to keep moving on.
All right. So then, B, you got Texas Tech versus Indiana.
I would take Indiana in that game.
You got Ohio State versus Georgia.
Ooh.
That's big boy stuff.
Yeah.
Huey's saying Buckeyes over there.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I think Georgia might get him on that one, though. We'll go Georgia.
Dogs. Ked Golston nodding in approval. NCAA championship. You got Georgia versus Indiana.
I'm going to have to say Georgia's going to beat him.
it's going to be real tough for college football fans to look at Georgia versus Indiana and think anything but Bulldogs.
Yeah. But Indiana's good, bro. People can say what they want. That team is good.
They are.
Yeah.
All right, Jeffrey, you're up. Miami, Ohio State, Jeff.
Miami.
Ooh. All right. Ole Miss, Georgia.
Ole Miss.
Damn, Jeff going all underdogs.
Ole Miss. Wow. I like that, Jeff. Bama, Indiana.
The Hoosiers.
Hoosiers? And then Oregon, Texas Tech.
Oregon.
All right. Jeff. All right, you got Ducks, Hoosiers, Jeffrey. Who's getting to the – who's advancing?
The Hoosiers.
Wow. Ole Miss and the Canes.
Miami.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Right.
Indiana, Miami, Jeffrey.
Indiana wins it all.
Wow. Fernando Mendoza, Mania.
Oh, boy, he'd be definitely number one pick.
Yeah. All right, Professor Landini. Oregon, Texas Tech.
Oregon.
Bama, Indiana.
I'm going to go with Alabama.
Roll Tide. You're damn right. Rebels, Bulldogs, Ole Miss, UGA.
It's got to be Georgia.
And then Miami, Ohio State tonight.
Ohio State, definitely.
All right. You got two. You got big names here.
That's correct.
Ducks. Quack. Ducks versus the Tide, Oregon versus Alabama.
I like the Ducks. Quack, quack.
All right. Georgia versus the Buckeyes.
Ohio State.
Another Big Ten champion coming for Lampfill. Oregon versus Ohio State.
I'd go with Ohio State, yeah.
Wow. Buckeyes roll for Landini. All right, time for me to make some picks. I'm taking Texas Tech. Then I'm taking Bama.
You're a homer.
Dude, I root for the Tide. What do you want from me?
It's a homer.
Then I'm taking
the home is.
UGA, and then I'm taking the Buckeyes. From there, Texas Tech. From there, UGA. From there, Bulldogs.
So you got Texas Tech beating Alabama?
Yeah. Wow. I think that Texas Tech defense.
You quickly changed from being a damn homer, didn't you?
You want me to take them the whole way?
You probably want to. You're probably dealing your other stuff.
Fine. Bama. And then Bama, Georgia again.
Hey,
Bama.
He ain't changing that because of me. You know why he taking that? Because he knew all his boys that pull up with Alabama about to call it.
Mathers and Tripp are texting me right now.
They text you right now. What the hell are you doing?
I honestly wouldn't have taken that, but since we're wagering a Snickers bar on this, I'm good with it. V-Mitch has the Bulldogs of University of Georgia winning it all. Jeffrey goes Indiana Hoosiers. I can't imagine Indiana's ever won a national title in football.
I don't think so.
Lampfield going Ohio State Buckeyes, and me, thanks to badgering from Big Bro Brian Mitchell, rolling with the Crimson Tide of Alabama. All right, picks are in. These are official Snickers bar wager. Nobody go anywhere. Neil Greenberg joins us next.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
B. Mitch and Finley coming to you live, Ashburn, Virginia, the BigBear.ai Performance Center, as the Commanders get ready for their final game of the year, Week 18 in Philadelphia. A little bit of news, not a surprise, we all expected this, but Tyler Biadasz now put on injured reserve, won't be playing Sunday amongst a host of players that will not be playing Sunday. Joining us now to make sense of things in the world, our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can read all his work at Post Sports. What up, Greenberg? How you doing, bud?
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Same to you, brother.
Happy New Year to you, Neil. Little bit of news here in the last, hour, with it basically being reported that Philly's not going to play their starters. You know me. I immediately looked at what Vegas did in the break of that news, and the line kind of got cut in half, depending where you're shopping. We had Dave Zangaro, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly, on with us, and he said, listen, they're not going to say it publicly, but Philly believes they can beat Washington with their backups. Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that, because I don't think Washington is that bad of a team. It's still the NFL. You still have a lot of people playing for stuff. I'm not even sure if Philadelphia necessarily believes that. That's, it's the NFL, right? I mean, there's too much parity. The fact that the spread has moved quite a bit, it tells you more than like bluster from, a coach or a player. 7 points to 3.5 is a big, big move. I think Washington is well within their means to win this game.
Well, that's good to hear.
But then when you look at it, though, like JP had mentioned to Dave about it, Washington backups also against them because
right.
Tyler Biadasz is now on IR. Cosby's not playing.
Third-string quarterback.
You know, you're on your third-string quarterback. When you start looking at it, it's basically Washington's backups against Philly's backup.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but Washington should have a lot to play for. Just from a last game of the season, we haven't had a very good season. We need to kind of show the world what we're like. And, you know, the backups playing, I mean, they have more to play for than anybody, right? I mean, you know, it's certainly something that they need to showcase well. There's going to be a lot of changes on this team going forward, especially, I believe, on the defensive side. So you want to be able to show out and show what you can do. I don't necessarily think Philly is that great of a team. I mean, they're obviously very good. They're obviously going to be in the playoffs. I've been down on them more than most. I have them as the number 9th best team, even though they're 11-5. And they've fallen quite a bit. They got a good defense, but they've been inconsistent. And, you know, any team can have a clunker of a game at any time. The line movement tells you, I think, more about anything, and this game should at least be close.
Kind of sounds like you're taking the points.
I mean, the line moved quite a bit. So even 3.5, you're getting over the key number of 3. I don't know necessarily if I would be dabbling at this point. But just from an X's and O's standpoint, Philadelphia has not been a great team this year. Well, no team has been a great team. So they're definitely beatable. They're definitely exploitable. I think it's always worth betting the underdog in this case because you get the points and you also get a chance to win.
Well, Greenberg, let me ask you something. I am. It's obviously week 18. This is extremely self-serving radio, so forgive me. I am in the. It's the final week of this pick'em pool I'm in. There's 35 guys in this pick'em pool, but Doug Kammerer and I have a side bet in this pool. Doug is 1 point ahead of me going into the last week. He has 89 points on the season. I have 88. I'd really like to win for a number of reasons, and because this pool, the lines get set early, I'm getting the Skins plus 7.5.
Oh, you got to take that.
That's a must, right?
Yeah. There's too much value there for...
You're stuck at 7.5?
I get... They put the lines when they first come out. So this is 7.5 when you thought Hurts was playing a role.
Yeah.
I hope Doug's not listening.
Doug, you're listening. You better go change that.
I think... That's about 25% closing line value there. I think you absolutely have to take that. And whatever happens, happens. But you're getting over a key number that's now in half. I would absolutely take that.
All right. We're talking with our boy Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable.
Do you know what he's taking or no?
No, I don't know until the game starts. So we probably will both take it is my guess.
You might be in trouble, Jay.
Damn it, Neil. You messed up my Rude. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Go ahead, Greenberg.
If you take the same game as him, you lose.
Yeah, we pick five games, though.
Oh, okay.
We pick five games. So maybe we both take that. Frankly, the folks in this pool are fairly savvy. I think most people would see the line value and try to grab it regardless. So, like, I'd rather still be on the side of the value than
right,
chase
it. Right, I thought
it
was just one game. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's five.
Okay. Carry on.
So, thank you. So I follow you on Twitter, as most should. You can give Greenberg a follow at @ngreenberg. And your power rankings, one thing I love about you, you are not a conventional wisdom guy. You're gonna use your own kind of resources and numbers and go with them. Take us through where your power rankings are at going into week 18.
I have Seattle number one, Jacksonville number two, New England three, Rams four, Baltimore five, which is probably going to be different than most.
I would say.
You know, especially with, you have Chicago, Philadelphia, Buffalo, all at 11 and 5. Look, I'm looking at where a team should be and where it's going. I was on Jacksonville very early a couple weeks ago. I had them number four. A lot of people thought I was a little bit crazy, but it seems to pan out. New England I've had drifting up over the past couple weeks. I think that it's I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at efficiency. I'm looking at consistency game in game. A lot of these power rankings that are out there are mostly just regurgitations of the record. Mine are not. And, I think mine have been pretty solid. Through the course of the year in terms of, like, seeing the Eagles kind of fall off before anybody else, not being as high on Chicago, having Detroit lower than most before their swoon. Still having Baltimore high. I had Baltimore higher than most, I would say, even through, like, the early part of the season.
Yeah, you were riding with them.
And now here we are with them, being a playoff contender. So, I'm pretty good, but mine's going to be a lot different than probably what you see out there mostly.
So if you like the Ravens that much, means you must really like the Ravens Sunday night.
Yeah, I've been saying, Ravens futures are probably the most undervalued bet that was on the board for a couple weeks. I'm actually picking the Steelers plus 3.5 in this game only because Tomlin Harbaugh games are very, very close historically. Pittsburgh as a home underdog usually wins. So I'm definitely taking Pittsburgh plus the 3.5 going over that key number of three. Maybe they get T.J. Watt back. Maybe that moves the line a little bit. But I'm high on Baltimore, but I do have Pittsburgh plus 3.5 this week.
Is that if Lamar plays or not?
Well, if Lamar plays, yeah, that's no matter what. I mean, these games have always been historically close. They've been low-scoring games. They've been close games. The underdog has won a majority of them. Pittsburgh has won a majority of them. I just think Mike Tomlin knows his division rival, and I'm very comfortable taking Pittsburgh plus 3.5.
So take me through Seattle, because the hardest part in buying into Seattle is Sam Darnold, and that offense has not been nearly as explosive over the last month as they were earlier. Like in your top four in your power ranks, you go Seattle, Jacksonville, Patriots, Rams. Who of that group are you? Would you put your own money on to win the Super Bowl?
Probably Seattle, and it's because defense travels. I mean, their defense has been good, and they're able to make stuff happen. I was down on them early in the season. I didn't really like. I'm not going to say I was on the Seattle bandwagon for very long, but historically, these type of teams that are really good defensively do well in the postseason. Now, success in the postseason comes in two different flavors. Either you're like the best defensive team and you have an okay offense, or you're an elite offense that more than makes up for a okay defense. And Seattle definitely falls in that first group. I get the Sam Darnold stuff. It's all about matchups in the playoffs. And if he doesn't have a clunker, then I think Seattle just looks really good.
Yeah. What do you make of the Niners? That defense is bad.
They
rush the passer as well as Washington does.
I hope my mother-in-law is not listening because she's from the Bay Area. She's a big 49ers fan. My kids call her up every Sunday. Go Niners! They're a team that I'm avoiding. I don't think that they have the pedigree to make a deep playoff run. I have them in the same tier as Baltimore and Houston. I would probably take both those teams over San Francisco. I've been higher on Houston consistently more than most. Their defense is good. I do think that they can put together some offensive stuff. But San Francisco, they're like vanilla ice cream, right? They're like a really good vanilla ice cream, which you're happy to have, but if there's a better, more exotic flavor out there, you're probably going to eat it.
Yeah, they gave up a lot. They won the game the other night, but they gave up a lot of points, man.
Yeah, they weren't. That wasn't their best showing. Like, that wasn't the showing that you want to see where, one, you got to go into this game for all the marbles, but then, you know, to show, like, you're ready to dominate. Because even after we adjust the score for turnovers and that type of stuff, you know, they won 29-26 or so. They had a really good game efficiency-wise, but there was some turnovers, et cetera. It just wasn't a dominant performance. And, you want to see teams dominate. We've talked about this before. Like, squeaking wins by one possession isn't what makes a really good team. There's no data-driven case for being, like, battle-tested. You want teams that blow out someone like 42-10, like the Patriots did. Even if that team's not supposed to be any good, you want to see them firing on all cylinders.
Better chance of making the Super Bowl, winning the NFC, the Eagles or the Bears?
Oof. The Eagles. I'm not a fan of what Chicago's been doing at all. They're really not good on defense. They don't fit the profile of a team that goes deep in the playoffs. I definitely think Philadelphia, and it wouldn't even be close.
That defense is so legit. I tend to agree with you there. Are you prepared, Greenberg? And I do. We have a Caps game in about an hour, which is pretty exciting for Brian and I. Caps have been up and down. a lot more down than up lately. How we feeling about the Rock the Red?
I'm feeling fine. They're fine. It's going to be fine. They're going to get some days off. I'm really looking forward to the Team Canada announcement, because it looks like the latest consensus has Tom Wilson making it. And
I love that. Awesome.
You know, that's something that's good. I think I really do think that everyone should be pulling for Tom Wilson to score a bunch of goals, the golden goal, just to really rub it in the face of his haters, because I don't think there's a more polarizing player than Tom Wilson. But, you know, kudos to him. You know, he's got 19 goals so far. He's obviously a big part of Washington's success, you know, in the NHL. And they're going to be fine. It's still a long season. Get some days off, rest up a little bit. And, you know, let's have a real conversation, you know, a month or two from now when we start to see what's really happening in the Metro and the NHL at large.
See, that was going to be my question for you. When should we be concerned about it?
Yeah, I would say after the halfway point. You know, we got, we're almost at the halfway point now. You know, I think a couple more games. It's, you know, they're doing really well in regulation, so they're not really padding their resume with overtime losses, overtime points, which is good. Carolina is still a team that you're going to have to worry about. You know, so there's going to be some – look, they're going to play good teams because there's a lot of good teams on their side of the conference. So, but, yeah, after the All-Star break – let's start to see what's going on, trade deadline, that sort of stuff. Let's see what the team looks like heading into the playoffs.
All right, Greenberg. Speaking of the playoffs, talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. The wager's significant here. It's a Snickers. Would you like to enter the B. Mitch and Finley College Football Bracket Challenge?
No, Snickers means something else, you know, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have to fill out a pool or something?
I'll tell you later. Once I win,
I don't. What's other meaning for Snickers?
You wouldn't know it. It's not on that. It's not on Google. It's on Boogle.
I'm not going to find it on, like, Legends or whatever.
Boogle.
It's something made up.
Okay. Urban Dictionary says looking kind of good, sexy. I don't know. Perhaps it's a Twix bar, Greenberg. It's a candy bar.
I do like Twix bars.
Are you prepared to enter? So far, it's me, B. Mitch, Jeff, and Landfill.
Yeah, what do I have to do?
You just answer the following question.
Answer who's winning the college championship.
Yeah, these are not going to be in chronological order. Oregon, Texas Tech.
Oregon.
Okay. Bama, Indiana.
Indiana.
Ole Miss, Georgia.
Ole Miss.
Really?
Does it make you feel Georgia?
Well, you don't know how crazy we get on this program. Don't you know I'm loco?
I've been on for a couple years. Trust me, I know.
Jeff took Ole Miss. So you and Jeff, that's where you want to be. J-Dogs forever. then Miami, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Okay. You have the Ducks of Oregon playing the Hoosiers of Indiana.
Oregon.
Okay. All right. Then you have the Rebels of Ole Miss playing the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Did I miss you there, Neil? Ole Miss, Ohio State. Okay. Then you've got a Big Ten battle. Oregon versus Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Wow. Back-to-back for the Buckeyes.
Neil, we don't need that to happen, man. I'm already sick of Sean Springs, man. God.
They are loaded, though.
Yeah, they loaded. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to make a phone call down to the French Quarters.
No, you didn't win. We got to see who wins the games.
Oh, I thought I won.
No.
The game hasn't been played yet, Neil. What the hell? How you win without the games being played? One of my buddies just asked me why you didn't name Denver, and I said, Neil thinks outside the box. He said, yeah, he thinks way outside the box. Now I'm realizing you are out the box right there.
I am so far out of the box, I'm in a circle.
You don't trust the Broncos at all?
Neil already won in the games that have been played. That's outside the box.
The Denver Broncos?
Yeah.
Not really.
All right. Really. Are you taking the points with Miami tonight?
I mean, Miami, Miami's not good, are they?
Hurricanes?
The Hurricanes?
Oh, Hurricanes. I'm sorry. I thought you said the Denver Broncos. I'm sorry.
We're all over the place.
Yeah.
We do have to break, though, Neil. Okay. I will text you for winners.
All right, Neil. Okay. Take care, buddy.
Happy New Year. Love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Take care. That's our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post joining us. You can give him a follow at @ngreenberg. Not a conventional fella. I like that. Maybe you do too. Neither are we. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, fellas, if you're still rocking those tired old polos with floppy collars, it's time to step it up like I do with Collars & Co. They give you that crisp, dress shirt look with the comfort of your favorite polo. I wear mine to the studio just like I have on today, to hit the golf course, or even just for a night out with no wrinkles, no dry cleaner. Just throw it on and you're ready to roll. CollarsAndCo.com, and now you can check them out in person at their new store in Congressional Plaza and stock up with all your holiday shopping needs. Collars & Co., tell them B. Mitch and JP sent you.
And it. I know you planned it. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's 11:30 a.m. on New Year's Eve. 11:29 a.m. if you're being exact. It is New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And there was a time in my life where New Year's Eve was a big deal. I've worked a lot of New Year's Eves as a bartender. It wasn't the worst night to work. The problem was, if you were working New Year's Eve and the bar was rented out, and it was like $200 all you can drink,
mm-hmm.
nobody tipped. Because they're like, well, I already paid. So that sucked. But then what would happen, speaking off the record, of course, is once you're bartending and you realize nobody's tipping you, you know what the bartender controls?
The price.
No, the alcohol. So you know what might start happening?
You get less liquor?
Well, I just might start drinking a bunch.
So you're saying...
And then your service might wane.
So you're off the record, kind of on the record.
I always enjoyed New Year's Eve. Some of the most fun New Year's Eves I had. My boys in college would rent out this bar in New York City. We did, like, the Times Square thing, which was just nuts, but fun when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, New Year's Eve, not a ton of juice. We're going out to dinner tonight at the beach, which should be cool.
Zippy, you've gotten older and just...
Well, what are you doing tonight, Mr. Young at Heart?
Oh, I'm going to be out all night.
I doubt it.
I'm going out.
Where are you going?
To a club down in, what's it called, at the MGM.
Oh, you are? I thought you were debating whether you wanted to do that.
I said I just threw that out there to make sure I threw you off because I gave you something that you knew, see? Bang. I got plans just in case. I don't know.
So you're just not sharing your plans.
Yeah, basically. That's what I'm doing with you.
That I believe.
Yeah.
my guess is, of the four of us, White Brian's just on permanent vacation.
I don't know what's up with that.
I think
dude,
White
bro.
Brian's in Turks and Caicos, last I heard. I'm guessing only Jeff has, like, wild plans. Landfill, what do you have planned for tonight?
I'm just going to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, but don't you
going to do what you do every night.
You also usually wake up, though, around midnight.
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Will you watch the ball drop?
Hell no.
No, Dick. Is Dick Clark still alive?
I think he's passed years ago.
Yeah, I think he's gone, Jay.
Who does, like, the big...
Ryan Seacrest, huh?
The last few years of Dick Clark were pretty rough, too.
Dick Clark died in 2012. Damn. Yeah, that's a hole in my resume.
You need to stop, though.
Over 10 years ago. Shout out to Dick Clark. Remember when Dan Snyder bought Dick Clark Productions or whatever?
Yeah, how much money did he make?
Zero. So Ryan Seacrest is on tonight. The good news for me, what time does the college football game start tonight?
7:30,
8 o'clock.
Something like
that.
Don't say nothing that's going to get you in trouble, though. I'm just trying to help
7:30.
Who was that?
Who the cat was that, Levin?
You
guys
take a guess. Yeah, you guys got to guess.
Denton.
No.
Denton doesn't work with us. He's big
time.
I don't
care. Who the hell? Say it again.
Yes. 7:30. Speak again.
Ohio
say
State.
A sentence.
What's up?
Just got doing a
I'm
bit.
I'm not doing a bit. But I just know Ohio State is playing at 7:30 in Dallas.
Who the hell is that?
Come on. You saw me yesterday.
I'm trying to look at the camera.
Lil Ben?
They're showing my guy on Monumental, I think.
Not Lil Ben.
Not Ben.
A-Mac?
Same age.
So here's a tough, there's going to be a tough moment here. For
Luigi?
Our friend. We're not. Brian and I aren't the
was
best
it Luigi?
At everybody's
yeah,
name.
Luigi.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Luigi.
Who's Luigi? Mario's brother?
Well, you know, I told me he looked like the dude.
Is that, hold on, is your name Wes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Wes.
Yeah.
There
all right.
You go. Damn, Wes, I never heard you talk. I just see you smile all the time, dog.
Wes, you've been in there all day?
I have, yeah. I'm doing video for Brian.
All right, terrific. Do you know where White Brian is?
I don't know. Is he out of the country?
Turks and Caicos?
I think he's out of the country.
Bro, he's just on vacation permanently.
The dude, he got a lot of vacation time. We got to revisit our damn stuff.
Seriously. And White Brian's full-time, right? Isn't that the deal when you get the video jobs? Because that's what they always give Clary grief about. Shout-out to Luigi West. All right. So we are hoping to be at dinner at the beach at 5:30.
Probably ain't going to work.
Why not?
Because you're going to screw something up.
Appreciate your vote of confidence.
All right.
That's also what my wife thinks.
You leave here at 12. You got to go do some little tapings. You got to get home.
Yeah.
Then you pack. Are you already packed?
Lauren is packed.
Okay, so packed. And how long a ride is it normally without traffic?
A little less than 3 hours.
Okay, so you think it'll be a little less than 3 hours a day?
I don't think.
So if you're on the road.
Have you looked at the weather at the beach? I don't think it's a hot ticket to drive to the beach today.
It may not be a hot ticket to drive to the beach, but it's going to be a hot ticket for her to get somewhere. People like being places, bro.
Tomorrow I plan on jumping in the ocean. It's a high of 39 and very windy. You want to join me?
Hell to the no.
Okay. That was thorough. Here's what I – so Ainsley is hell-bent on staying up till midnight tonight.
Well,
I don't really,
we know that's going to happen.
So I've already – at the beach we only have one TV. It's a small little place, right? I've already told Lauren – whatever we need on the TV is fine. I'm going to watch a football game on my computer. So as long as I have access to the football game on my computer, whatever happens on the television is fine.
Uh-huh.
Now, since Luigi has let us know it's a 7:30 kick, I imagine there'll be some level of song and dance with this game. There'll be a national anthem. And we'll
there'll be something going on.
Like, what time do you think they actually kick the football? 7:48?
7:30 to start?
7:30 start.
About 7:48, 7:50.
So college games tend to go long. I think the football game, if it goes 3 hours, that gets me to 10:48. I bet the football game isn't over till around 11:15.
Possibly.
That means if the girls really want to stay up, I'm dadding for 45 minutes, counting down the clock, bang. Do you think I make it?
Are you drinking some Dr. Pepper Clear while you're watching the game?
Probably going to be some Clear this evening.
You're going, your eyes might be closed before 12.
Nah, I like watching football. And I'll be with the kids. It's not going to be me sitting in the chair by myself refilling.
Dude, I've seen you fall asleep. So,
sir.
Oh, I go to sleep.
You are the one seed of sleepers on this program.
And look, when I'm tired, I go to sleep. I'm not going to sit up there and try to fight it. For what?
All right, so Brian refuses to tell us his plans. Landfill is not doing anything. Luigi, what are you doing tonight? You're a young man. You going out in these streets?
No, I got to watch Ohio State play.
Are you a Buckeye fan?
Yeah, my dad went to Ohio State.
Okay. Where are you just going to watch it at home with your pop?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I kind of like that. Good for you.
Thank you.
Now, if I had to guess on anybody with significant plans tonight, his name is Jeff. Jeffrey, what the hell
my
are you doing?
My name is Jeff.
What are you doing tonight, Jeff?
I have to DJ from 11:30 to 3, and then I'm going home and going to sleep because I have a 5K to run.
Oh, yeah, he got to run a 5K tomorrow.
Oh, you're running that tomorrow after DJing until 3 in the morning?
I'm going to show up and see Jeff run.
I'll get home about 4 o'clock, get a nice little 5 hours, be up at registration by 9, be ready to run by 11.
So will you not drink tonight?
JP, I haven't drank at the club since January.
So I had to specify that, at the club?
Yeah, I know you drank in Madrid.
Yeah, for sure. But the club,
he lost in Madrid. Really drink.
What club are you at tonight? Is it like $100 all you can drink kind of thing, or what is it?
I'm at 202 Lounge. It's right in Chinatown, and
yep,
it's not $100 all you can drink. But been there, are table prices. There are table table Jeff. Deals tonight.
What does it cost to get a table tonight?
For one premium bottle and one house champagne, it's $550.
Damn, what's a premium bottle? Like a bottle of Casamigos or something?
Yeah, Don Julio, stuff like that. For two bottles, it's $850. And for four bottles and a house champagne, it's $1,250.
That's what we would be doing, Jeff. I mean, JP, me and you.
Four bottles?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I feel like two would be enough.
Nah, man.
B. Mitch and Finley table, we got to do that
big,
one weekend.
Son. What do you say?
A B. Mitch and Finley table, we got to do that one weekend.
I'm not sure about that. Can it start a lot earlier?
No, JP. We're going to go out. We're going out. We can't play that old man crap, dog.
3 a.m. is late, man.
Man, please. Come on, dog.
Says the guy that won't tell us what he's doing tonight because he's probably not doing anything.
Do what? Why y'all sending pictures of me sleeping in Madrid? Hey,
Joey just said,
I told you I was going to doze off that day. I voiced that right before we started. Cuz that time killed me, man.
Whose New Year's Eve sounds the most exciting? Jeff DJing at the club, Landfill sleeping and maybe waking up, Luigi watching Ohio State with his dad, you with unnamed plans, or me hanging with the kids watching football?
Me with unnamed plans.
Dun 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 dun. Where does New Year's Eve rank for you? Let's examine that when we return. I've actually become a New Year's Day guy. Nobody go anywhere. We got Caps hockey coming up shortly. Should hear from Dan Quinn. Maybe we get some clarity on who's going to be the starting quarterback. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, Monumental Sports Network, and on the YouTube stream. Nobody takes care of the fan listeners like Paisanos. I know what your plan is tonight. Say you got a bunch of people coming over to watch the game. Order Paisanos. You can get 30% off any order of $30 or more with promo code FAN30. Pizza, wings, pasta, salads, cheesesteaks, whatever you want. Perfect for game day, late night, or when those holiday leftovers finally lose steam. Just hit PaisanosPizza.com, load up the cart, and watch the total drop with FAN30. If you're feeding the whole crew, use CREW20 for 20% off a custom catering order. Great for a game day spread, an office lunch, a holiday hangout, or a big family dinner. Paisanos has seriously tasty options, including pre-planned catering packages with the discount already baked in. There's two ways to score, FAN30 for any order or CREW20 for the whole crew. Paisanos, it's not just pizza, but something for everyone. Order now at PaisanosPizza.com. Damn. New England having their best season in years. Real reasons to be excited about playoff prospects for the Patriots. Yesterday, the news came out that Steph Diggs was charged with strangulation of what his lawyers say is a dispute with an employee. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm just seeing this from WCVB-TV Boston. New England Patriots star defensive tackle Christian Barmore is facing a domestic assault charge, according to court documents out of Attleboro District Court.
They may keep a lot of stuff quiet, huh?
I mean, That's a lot of legal news in 24 hours for the Pats.
It's quick.
26-year-old is charged with one count of assault and battery on a family household member. You talk about keeping it quiet, but listen to this. The misdemeanor charge stems from an alleged incident in Mansfield on August 8th.
Damn.
According to documents, the victim had been in a relationship with Barmore. She alleged Barmore became angry with her about the air conditioning temperature in his bedroom and that they had an argument over food. According to court documents, the victim told police Barmore grabbed her phone from her hands while she was trying to leave the house. Charging documents stated the victim intended to open the door and scream for help, but Christian grabbed her before she could and threw her to the floor. The victim claimed Barmore grabbed her by the shirt and in the neck, but he eventually let her go. The criminal complaint was issued on December 16th, and Barmore is scheduled to be arraigned on February 3rd, 5 days before the Super Bowl.
Wait. This happened in August?
Yeah.
And then the complaint didn't happen until December?
Says the criminal complaint was issued on December 16th, which is 4 months later?
It's a long time.
Yeah.
It just makes you start thinking, like, okay, why now?
Yeah.
If you didn't do it then. Does he have a new girlfriend?
I don't know.
Hey, man, like, stuff happens, bro.
That is,
I don't know. So, listen, I'm saying they were keeping it quiet. Hell, they didn't keep it quiet. It wasn't there. They didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly, what I know, the legal situations, lawyers, police, paperwork, like that. That's going to be its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
For Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, that's a lot of stuff in 24 hours going into Week 18.
Hell yeah.
And
now, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I'm calling the meeting right now. I say, anybody else got something about to come out?
Seriously?
Let me know, please.
Just to be ahead of it.
Hell yeah.
Now, for this week's game against the Dolphins, you know, you wonder how much of an impact that makes.
It may not be an impact, but you know what? You know going to be asking questions to people that probably have nothing to do with it. Just like you and I talk about what we know, the players in the locker room don't know what's going on either, but they will be asked questions.
And New England's very much in contention for the one seed. And if they lost, I don't know how the tie-breaking procedures would go, but if they lost and Jacksonville won, could the Jags get up to the two? Like, this weekend does still matter, and Miami's playing a lot better ball than they were 2 months ago. So, a lot going on in New England. We're going to play Jeff's song here in just a minute. But, B, I did want to ask you one thing. We've talked about George Pickens a few different times, and we're both of the mindset that Jerry ain't letting him go.
Yeah.
I learned something yesterday that I was unaware of. Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, that relationship came to a divorce status, largely because Jerry didn't. David Mulligetta of Athletes First is Micah Parsons' agent.
Mm-hmm.
Mulligetta is one of the biggest agents in football, period. It represents a ton of top talent. Lanville, if you said something, I didn't hear you. Mulligetta and Jerry Jones would not speak in the process. Jerry would not speak to Mulligetta, and that's why that thing went so sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Mulligetta also represents George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
Does that complicate things?
No. They'll get it done eventually.
You think?
Jerry talks when he wants to talk. And you know one thing? Jerry loves offense. He likes scoring. So,
here's the plan. Coming up on Monumental Network, Capitals pregame live at noon with Alexa Landestoy, Alan May, and Brent Johnson. Caps are taking on the Rangers at home today. You'll have Joe B. Locker and Al Koken on the call of the game. B. Mitchell Finley is back right here on 106.7 and on the YouTube page after the break. Right now, Jeff Walker, Week 18 song against the Eagles. Jeffrey, what do we got?
I did something different. I wanted to, this year, I wanted to do something different. You'll hear it when I play the song. Let's go, Landini.
I hope he ain't singing.
Woo. Four wins so far. This ain't been the best season. It's been a lot of ups and downs. But you know what? I still believe in that burgundy and gold. I still believe that burgundy and gold. And I know it's fans all across the fan base that got love for this team. You know, they got mad love for this team. They
want to say straight from their chest. Terry did hold out, and he was hurt. Like 18 others, D-Wise and Zach Ertz. Why not us? Why not us? Command us to the Super Bowl, and Cliff we trust? Yeah, we signed Debo. He delivered a hit, but our defense lacked identity and wit. We won four games to beat the Giants twice. Lost all the other big ones under primetime lights. B-Rob was sent packing, told to kick rocks. You can watch that and more all on Hard Knocks. Bill and Lane took it to the house without no flags. Burke's first TD was with the one-hand snags. Haters say no more, man, it's all been told. I'm forever gonna be Burgundy and Gold. Yeah, Master Chief at the Fan Soldier. No, he told you haters say no more. It's all been told. I'm forever gonna be Burgundy and Gold.
Get back next year for sure. Knuckle up.
I enjoyed that, Jeffrey. Well done. Shout out to Master Chief. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Coming up next on Monumental Sports Network, Caps pregame live. More B. Mitchell Finley after the break on 106.7 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. I am guessing the vibe at Cap One Arena today will be strong. You got a New Year's Eve kind of holiday crowd. I am guessing, like, I wish I had a live camera. I might text my boy EP. What do you think the scene is at Clyde's right now? Because folks are having a few before this game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like,
and, yeah, I know it's 12:03, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere. They're enjoying themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dog. You know how it is when we go to Clyde's.
Yeah. I'm texting Pollard right now. I don't know if he's working today or what, but I'm guessing Clyde's is bumping. If you're selling beers at Cap One Arena today, I'm guessing you're going to make a little scratch. Mm-hmm. With people feeling generous for the holidays.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Wilson, as Greenberg told us, trying to, you know, show the Canadians he belongs on his nation's national team.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rangers, I think, stink, and the Caps need a win. Like, there's a lot of solid factors towards today being a fun one in Capstown. Yeah, the Rangers, damn, they're only 2 points back. That Metro is so jumbled up, and the Hurricanes are just clearly the best team. Well, that's why they play the games. We'll see.
There you go.
That'll be fun to watch this afternoon. B, I don't know when it happened. I've become more of a New Year's Day guy to New Year's Eve. New Year's Day is just such a great day. You got football all day. My wife always makes a big pot of spaghetti. I love spaghetti. And I enjoy it. Are you a New Year's Day or New Year's Eve guy?
I mean, New Year's Eve, it is what it is. But I just look at all the days like they're the same, to be honest with you. Like, it's the end of the year, you start the next year. Ain't like nothing really different. I'm hoping... Like, a few New Year's, I got some 50, 60-degree days to play golf.
I know.
I would love that.
Not getting that. Camera says it's going to be cold for a while. I don't know that there's any winter golf coming.
We need Cameron to do his work and get some damn more air coming through here.
It'd be better if he could control the weather.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. Your best bet.
We need him to control the weather, then.
All right. So next. See, this I'll never understand. This was the same thing on Monday when the temperature climbed up into the 50s, but it was that crazy wind. So next Wednesday, a week from today, I'm just looking at the weather on my phone, says a high of 56, which is doable, but it says there's a 55% chance of sleet.
That's crazy.
It looks like that stretch next week, 56, 51, maybe it warms up a little bit, but I think it's going to be cold for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I bet, what's the weather look like in Philly on Sunday?
I don't know.
I bet it's going to be cold.
I just left my jacket. I got to get my damn jacket. Got me a nice winter jacket.
Another letter jacket?
Nah, it's a big one, nice one. Make sure I'm not going to be cold in the damn winter.
Looking right now, high of 36 on Sunday in the city of Brotherly Love.
That makes
Love.
No damn sense.
But at least no precipitation or anything. Like, I think both teams going to be running the ball.
I'm
just trying to keep this
ball,
moving.
That wind comes off that water right there at that damn stadium.
It does.
It's colder there than it is most places.
And the way the Link is built. The Link is a great stadium. I really like the Link as far as a football stadium goes.
Mm-hmm.
But because they have those opposite end zones open, you know what I mean? That is just a straight wind tunnel coming
through there. Yeah, yeah.
All right, we are out of here in just a few minutes for Caps hockey coverage. John Walton taking over at 12:15. Let's see if any of the boys have a New Year's resolution. I want to get – this is kind of my normal cycle. I'm going to get back in shape once I'm going to have some more time, starting next week, honestly. That's probably the top of my list. What I always say this time of year is I want to break 190 and I want to break 90. So
you can break the 90. You just got to learn to break the habit on the back nine.
I mean, this past summer, I was breaking 90 pretty – I was playing some decent golf, like 85, 88. Then I kind of lost it a bit. And the weight, you know, I got to keep it under 2 bills. Right now I'm flirting, like 198. Ideally, you know, by March 1, I'm at 188, kind of get my life in order. Those are my standard New Year's resolutions. Break 190, break 90. What about you?
Just deal with less BS.
Good luck.
Oh, I don't deal.
In our industry?
I choose to deal with, if I choose to deal with it or not, I'm going to be dealing with less. So the people around me need to understand that. So you bring it to me, I'm going to be giving you the Heisman.
So are you telling Landfill and Jeff directly?
I'm telling everybody that needs to hear it.
Jeffrey, what are some of your New Year's resolutions?
Well, I'm building my body back up. That's all I want to do. I'm just going to live a healthier life this year.
Jeff's getting healthy. Well done. Jeff, how much weight have you lost, dude? What's the number at right now?
Well, I'm at I honestly haven't checked, bro. Like, once I got down to 200 flat, which was 90, once I got down to there, I started bulking up. Now, I haven't been
on the
scale
since. I wonder who weighs more, me or Jeff right now.
Oh, it's B for sure.
Jeff.
What is Wes/Luigi? You got a New Year's resolution? Are you still in school, Luigi? Give us a 30-second spiel about yourself.
No, I graduated last semester at Virginia Tech, majored in broadcast journalism.
So you should be looking for a job, young man. What are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I am working a job. No, my
job right now.
Sure. A new word. A new word every week. Learn a new word every week. 52 words in 2026.
Is that setting the bar kind of low? A new word every week?
Yeah, that's kind of...
Why, you want me to do it every single day? Because I feel like I'll forget.
No, I get something more exciting. Hey,
yeah, like a word a week is like probably what my 7-year-old's doing.
But I'm not... Well, I was going to say gain weight, but you took that.
I'm not trying to gain weight. I'm trying to lose weight.
That was kind of like a shot. That was a shot.
All right, gain more weight. Me. Muscle.
What do you weigh, Luigi?
170.
You're kind of tall. What are you?
I'm a little bit over 6, but.
Okay. Yeah, you're kind of skinny. You got on that Ozempic Jenkins like Jeff. Landfill, what are your New Year's resolutions? Less BS?
Well, first off, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I think they're like halftime adjustments. They're a myth. If you see a change that needs to be made, you make it immediately. You don't wait till New Year's.
I like that. That's actually real. That's stop being polite and start getting
real. Well, I'm going to just say this. Get ready to see all the new people at the damn gym for about 2 months.
2 months? 2 weeks?
2 months. They'll last for about 2 months, and then you can get all your machines back.
Let's all make one 2026 prediction.
By March, all the machines in the gym gonna be open again.
All right. B's got the machines in the gym open again. Jeffrey, you got a prediction for 26?
Nah.
Exciting. Thanks, Jeff. Luigi?
Yeah, I'll do Ohio State back on the mountaintop of college football.
Wow. All right. I think I'll say the Commanders back in the playoffs. I think Philly's pretty loaded. I think they're going to have some changes in Philly. I think they're going to hire a real offensive coordinator. I think Washington's going to have some changes. I think they're going to hire a new defensive coordinator. I think the injuries and the schedule.
Why do you have for one prediction and then you go tell us what you think 500 million times?
One, because we have to kill four more minutes. Two.
You let Lanfield give you his prediction.
I'm explaining my prediction. I think Washington won't have the same outrageous schedule they had this year. They're going to get the third place. I'm telling you my prediction. And then, all right, you kill the last 4 minutes. Go.
Lanfield, tell us your prediction.
It's going to be four words.
I think that the Commanders will improve over 2025. Prediction. Boom.
All right. Huey, what's your prediction?
We got 3 minutes to go.
Dude, just talk. Instead of just
I was explaining my prediction.
But you said give me one prediction, and then you give me five different things.
It was one thing, and the reasons for it.
Can I give a prediction?
Sure. No,
can I do it? Can I ask for an expectation? When you say one thing, stick to it in 2026.
All I did was say one thing and then explain why.
You said it.
I said, I think they're going to be back to a playoff team, and here's why.
And then you said the Eagles getting a new coordinator. What does that have to do with the Commanders being back to a better team?
Just because I think the entire NFC East is going to look different. I think there's going to be significant changes all the way around. I think these guys will recognize they need a more thorough overhaul of this roster than they tried this past year.
Yeah, but I think they already know that. I think they knew
that. I hope so,
dude. They knew that by week six, that we need a thorough overhaul of this roster, and they couldn't do nothing about it at that point. I think right now they know. If they don't know it at this point, something's wrong.
I got a hope for 2026.
Give me a hope.
The Wiz make the play-in playoffs, whatever that's called.
All right,
like the 10 seed or whatever.
And I like that one.
I don't. That's a hope. That ain't a prediction.
Call it a hope-iction.
The hope-iction.
Yeah,
I like that.
Hope-iction.
What do you think was the bigger DC sports story this year? RFK, full approval, shovels in the ground, or Ovi breaking the goals record?
I think it was RFK. I think Ovi's deal was huge, but I think the RFK thing is like a area thing. You know what I mean?
Matters more for the long term.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, Ovi is humongous anytime he does anything. But moving that stadium back there with so many people that want to see it there and the possibilities of what it could do for that area.
The final B. Mitchell Finley AAA poll of the day for 2025. Who do you think wins the college football playoff national championship? Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, or other? You can vote on that at the B. Mitch and Finley page. Of course, AAA poll today brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/Commanders. Exciting day. We told you the Caps are on at 12:30. John Walton has our Caps coverage right here on 106.7 The Fan starting next. Go Caps. If you're at the game today, enjoy it. Everybody have a safe, happy New Year's Eve. Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for listening.
See y'all next year.
See you next year.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.